There was a time where our country taught our children about God and the Bible and morality. Now they're teaching them about immorality, not about God. You know, I always thought our government's place was to help run the economy of our nation. And defend our nation. They're not supposed to, surely unto God, they're not supposed to be indoctrinating immorality into our nation. What has happened? My goodness. I appreciate that testimony. Amen. Take a stand there's another side to that. That's not right. It is immoral. It needs to be told. It needs to be taught. And Lord have mercy. You know, when I look at those people, I really, with all my heart, try to think that's somebody's boy. That's somebody's daughter. And somebody needs to try to help them. I mean, really. Try to help them see the truth. Try to help them to see the dark path that they've been took under. And how that we need to pray for them. Amen. Pray. You know, they say years ago there was a man of God. I forget his name. But they said, this was early days of the, like early 1900, maybe late 1800. He came into, I think it may have been Chicago or somewhere, and just the man of God just being in the city. He walked into a factory to meet some of the people, and there was a lady there that was operating machinery, and she said, the godliness that beamed from his eyes put her under such conviction. He hadn't even said a word yet. The holiness in his life that come from his eyes put her under such conviction, she dropped to her knees right there and started getting saved. They had to shut the plant down. That I don't know how long. I mean, they reopened it, but I mean, as far as that day and maybe even for a couple of days, so many people in that plant under conviction, under the power of God, just from that man of God coming there. That's what we need in our country again. Amen. The power of God coming out of children of God's lives. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter 5, and I've had this thought on my mind for several days. 1 John chapter number 5, and I want to, for sake of time, I just want to read one verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Fellas, I need that clip if you have it. That lapel. I'll read this again. These things have I written unto you. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What I want to preach about this morning for just a few minutes is God's assurance of salvation. God's assurance of salvation. I began to think about these verses and what John was saying and what God has said in other parts of the scripture about our salvation and about knowing that we're saved. God wants us to know that we're saved. If we are indeed saved, God wants us to know that we're saved. God wants you to know that you're saved as much as you know your name. God wants you to know of a surety. There's an assurance. And God talks about this a lot in 1 John. Specifically here in this chapter, in chapter 5, I want us to look at a few things that will help you to know and to have assurance of salvation. Now, this assurance of salvation, it's among God's divine truths, amen, of the Word of God. But the author of deception, which is the devil, has people believing lies concerning this. And there are liars that are exposed in little John. These people that claim to have salvation, but they truly don't. But if you truly do, you can have real Bible assurance of salvation. And God wants somebody to know that they're saved. Listen, God don't want anybody going into eternity deceived. I don't believe that. I believe God wants people to know where they stand with Him. Amen? God is not the author of confusion. Amen. The God of heaven, as big as He is, He can make you know that you're saved. Amen. There was something my granddaddy used to say all the time. He'd say, son, a God as big as God is moved in on the inside of you, you'll know it. You'll have to know it, amen? But the day that we're living in is a day where many want to believe in the lies of salvation and the deception that Satan gives concerning salvation. And it was that same way in John's day because he wrote about them. He wrote about these people that said, oh, I'm saved. But they didn't have the fruit of salvation. They didn't have what John had. They didn't have the same faith that John experienced. Amen. And what the other apostles and the other believers had experienced. But they wanted to claim salvation. And John said, they're a liar. There's something wrong there. There's not two salvations. God's not going to do something in my life. And then you be a totally different creature. And you say you're saved, and yet you're the same way you've always been. And so John was going to straighten those things out. And he began to straighten those things out. In chapter 1, verse 6, he said, they say they have fellowship with God, and they still walk in darkness. He said, they lie. He said, if you say that you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you lie. You're a liar. You're not saved if you still walk in darkness, John said. God said that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. And so that was the first lie, that they had fellowship with God while they still walked in darkness. The second one, he said in chapter 1, verse 8, that they have no sin. In other words, they didn't recognize their sin. Or that they were a servant of sin. You know, there are a lot of people today, you preach on sin, but they don't want to see that that's sin. No, that's not sin. Oh, that's not sin. What I'm doing is not sin.
The preacher may say it's sin, but it's not sin. I don't believe it's sin. Hey, you believe what you want to believe, but I just believe that what I'm doing, it's not sin. I'm going to tell you something. If it comes out of this book, it's sin. And if God said it was sin, if God ever said it was sin, it's still a sin today. Amen. What we were talking about a little while ago, about sodomy, about perversion, about all transvestites and all that. Listen, God spoke of that thousands of years ago, and He never changed His mind. That's an abomination today, just as sure as you and I are standing here. God hadn't changed His mind. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. They say they have no sin. You see, that's the generation today. They don't want people looking upon them as if they've done anything wrong. My life's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with my life. I want you to accept me just like you accept everybody else. I want you to accept my perverted lifestyle just like you would accept a black man or an Indian man or a Chinese man. Hello, listen, morality doesn't have a thing to do with race. Amen? You can't tell somebody that's a pedophile, put him in the same category as a Cherokee Indian. Are you listening to me? It doesn't have anything to do with race. That's morality. That's immorality. Amen? A man ain't going to be judged by the skin color that he has been born with, but he will be judged by the sin and the wickedness that he allows in his life. I want to tell you, it's a mess how people, that's what it is. They want to try to make themselves like they're just like everybody else. There's nothing wrong with me. I have no sin. You see, when the Lord comes back, you know what He said He's going to have to do? He's going to have to convince all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Brother Brandon taught on that this morning. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. That's what it is today. They don't want to see their life is ungodly. My life's not sin. My life's not sin. If they say they have no sin, they're a liar. They don't know God. You can't know God and say, I have no sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Their sin, they must repent of their sin just like we had to repent of our sin. Amen. They say they have not sinned in chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 4, they're Christians. They say they're Christians, but they don't keep the New Testament commandments. Oh, we're believers. We're children of God, but we don't keep His commandments. There's things we don't do. Listen, John said, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're not saved. Christians do keep God's commandments. In chapter 2, verse 22, they deny the Father and the Son. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And chapter 4, verse 20, they say they love God. This is a big one. How many people today say, oh, I love God as much as anybody else, but they hate the brethren? He said, if you say you love God whom you have not seen, how can you hate your brother who you see every day? And if you hate your brother whom you see every day, how can you love God who you've not seen? He said, there's no way you can love God and not love the children of God. Not love the brethren. Amen? That's right. If you hate the brethren, there are people that dislike the church. They hate the church. They don't want to have anything to do with the church. Listen, there's no way they can tell me they love God. Amen? You don't love God. If you love God, you'll love His church. Amen. And John dealt with that. And so there's a lot of things that people try to grab assurance of their so-called salvation, but they don't have salvation. They don't have Bible salvation. Not if they're doing what John said here. Amen? And there's a lot of people today That's just how they are. They want to have all the assurance in the world. You ask them, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I can tell you that. Listen, if you're truly saved, you get away from God, you're going to lose every ounce of assurance you've got. According to the Scripture. According to the Scripture. It's what the Bible teaches in 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen? He that lacketh these things blind cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he is purged from his own. You'll begin to lose assurance of when you got saved. Amen? But God wants his children to have assurance of salvation. I mean, if you're truly saved, listen, God wants you to have full assurance of your salvation. Because full assurance of your salvation is going to help you live by faith even more. It's going to help you walk by faith more. It's going to help you trust God by faith more. The more assurance you have, the more faith you can have. And so God wants you to know that you are saved. God wants to give you assurance. Now there's fruit. We saw some things that showed the fruit of them that are not saved. People that say they have fellowship and they still walk in darkness. People that say that their sin ain't sin. And they've not sinned. And they don't keep God's commandments. And they deny the Father and the Son. And they hate the brethren. But the language of assurance is for all. It's for everybody. I mean, anybody can be saved. I mean, chapter 5, verse 1, look, whosoever, first word right out of the gate, whosoever believeth. It's for everybody. I mean, you can be saved if you're not saved. Whosoever believeth. That's anybody, amen? No matter how sinful a man or a woman's been, they can be saved. They can be born again. They ain't going to be the same after they're saved. Amen. No such thing as a saved sodomite. Amen. That'd be like saying, I'm a saved murderer. Amen. I'm a saved drunk. I'm a saved thief. No, you ain't. You're the same old sinner you always have been. Amen. I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by God's grace. That's you if you're truly saved. Whosoever believeth. Amen. Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And so it's whosoever, it's for everyone. Verse 16, he said, if any man. Verse 18 again, whosoever. It's for everybody. The language of assurance is for all. God didn't just mean for me to have assurance, and if you're saved, for you to not have assurance. It's for whosoever believeth. The language of assurance is for every child of God. Every soul that would believe. The fruit of salvation is in verse 2 through 5. We love God. We keep His commandments. We love the children of God. That's in verse 2. Verse 3, the proof that we love God. We keep His commandments. Verse 4 and 5, we overcome the world through faith. Soul saving, soul changing, faith in Christ. Then he said, whatsoever is born of God. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, Brother Mark, what's that talking about? Well, there's a lot of people. A lot of scholars believe that that is the language of the body of Christ. You say, I'm a whosoever. But when all the whosoevers get together, we're now a whatsoever. We're the church. Amen? And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, it said that, and it said that so that you and I'd take our mind back to the foundation verse of the assurance of the church. Do you remember when Peter was asked, and the rest of the disciples was asked, he said, whom do men say that I am? Jesus asked. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you. And then here's what he said. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, what? Prevail, overcome against it. Now whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. How are we born of God? We believe in that same rock testimony that Peter gave. Thou art the Christ. Look here in John. Everywhere we look, we find out about knowing that we know. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory overcometh the world, even our faith. There it is. Faith in what? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And through the rest of the chapter, it has everything to do with believing that Jesus is who that he said he was. And who that God said he was. Amen? There's assurance in salvation. There's fruit in salvation. That we love God. And we keep God's commandments. Now, if we say that we love God, we do what? We keep His commandments. We prove we love Him when we keep His commandments. Is that right? That's right. If a man say that he loved me, Jesus said, keepeth not my commandments, he's a liar. Amen. All through the Bible, Jesus has made it plain that if we love Him, we do what He says. We follow Him. Amen. We take up our cross and follow the Lord. Amen. Now there is the witnesses of our salvation. Look down here with me, please. In verse number 6 through verse number 9. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. You need to write that down. Three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Underline that statement. These three are one. There is the doctrine of the Trinity. These three are one. These three are one. The Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So we have God bearing witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Trinity of heaven. Bearing witness to our salvation. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. Now I want to tell you something. This word, record, and witness is interchanged. The same Greek word throughout little John. It's known as record. It's used as testify twice. And it's witness seven times. The record, the bearer record of verse 7 and the bearer witness of verse 8 are the same thing. The witness is the record and the record is the witness. We have a record of salvation in heaven. Amen? A record. Brother Mike, I don't know if that's your business now. If you keep records the way you used to. I mean, now they've got computers. Brother Speed, up in your office, I think I saw a computer in there maybe. Men don't necessarily keep records like they used to. What was it? It was a written a written aspiration of everything that was. I mean, what you did, what came in, what went out, what was paid, what was bought, how much it was, amen, who it was to, what was done. I mean, it was the record. You could take that thing back, go back into court with it, amen. I mean, you had a verbatim record of everything. Here at the church, we still keep a record. And it is the testimony, amen, of believers. Is the testimony of a pastor, a testimony of a believer, the testimony of another church, amen, when somebody comes and we have a record, amen. And so he's talking about this record of testimony that's in heaven. And God testifies the record, amen. Now we have, there are three that bear witness in the earth. The witness and the record are the same. Three that bear witness in the earth. So there are three that bear record in heaven. So there's a record in heaven. There's a record on earth. The record in heaven is given, is sown, shown, spoken by the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear witness. It's seen, it's spoken in earth by the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, now I want to tell you something. The witness of God is greater. Now the witness of men, listen to me. The witness of men has nothing to do with the earthly record. Because the earthly record is as spiritual as the heavenly record. Look at it. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, capital S. Wait a minute. He's the Holy Ghost in verse 7. So the Spirit of God bears witness in heaven. He bears witness on the earth. And he is Spirit. And the water and the blood. You say, Brother Mark, that's the man. Oh, listen to me. That's the witness of the Spirit. He witnessed the water baptism of Christ when he came down the form of a dove and lay on his shoulder, and the God of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." And he bore witness of the blood at the cross. You listening to me? This is all a witness of Christ, not a witness of you and me. It's not our witness. This is a heavenly witness and an earthly witness that Jesus Christ, the Word, is made flesh, came down. The Holy Ghost said, yes, he was baptized, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. This Jesus is the Son of God. That is the witness of our salvation. We must have a witness of Christ, not us. My salvation depends on everything he done, not on what I do. Everything that John's talking about the witness has to do with Christ. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What record was it? It was the record God gave of his Son. The record in heaven was the record God gave of his Son. The record on earth was the record the Spirit of God gave of God's Son. You understand 1 John 5 a little better now? This is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Are you getting in here with me? He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son today? Do you have the Son? Do you have the Son in you? Same Spirit of God that says, I bear record in heaven. I bear record on the earth. I bear record of the water. I bear record of the blood. And he's the same one that'll say, I bear record he's in here. I bear record he's in there. Amen? He's the one that knows who the Son is and where the Son is and what the Son is. He knows the witness of the Son. He knows the work of the Son. He knows the way of the Son. Amen? He points us to his way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 13. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. A double assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. A stronger belief, even so yet. To believe that we have put our confidence, our faith, our eternal security of our soul in one man. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Well, this gets good. The record in heaven is saying, it is him. The record in earth is saying, it is him. Now we are believing it's him. He said, well, if you believe in him, I want you to have confidence in him, that he is the one. And he said, now if you ask anything according to his will, he'll hear you. Do you believe he's the one? Then you believe he's alive. Do you believe he'll hear you? Amen. That's what John's saying. If you believe he's the one, and you believed on his name, and you believe he'll hear you, then believe that he will hear you. He's alive, and he'll hear you. Amen. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition we desired of him. Oh, my goodness. Listen, we're talking to a real man. Talking to a real Savior. Talking to a real God. He ain't no fairy tale, amen? He's the real one. The Jews still over there at the wall, praying at the Wailing Wall. Are you listening to me? Praying for Messiah to come. I'm already talking to him. You're already talking to him. He has already come. The Father's already said, this is my Son. He's come. Amen. The Spirit on earth has said, he has come and he is risen again. Now the church testifies, he has come. The witness of our salvation is our witness of Christ. The witness in heaven of the Holy Trinity, these three are one. In earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, these three agree in one. Why? Because it was the same Jesus at each event. At the birth, at the baptism, at the crucifixion. The record in heaven, testifying, witnessing. Maybe put a little more light on what Isaiah said when he said, who hath believed our report? See, if we believe the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. You believe the witness of man. You believe John, what John said about him. You believe what Peter said. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Well, the witness of God is greater. This is my beloved Son. God's assurance in salvation. Listen, our assurance rests solely in our faith that He is. Now listen, don't you ever get messed up in this doctrine that all it takes to be saved is just to believe. Oh, they still a whole Bible full of repent. But this believing, this faith in Christ, listen, this faith in the one that is, that is what strengthens our faith. I mean, when you really grab hold of, when you're down on your knees talking, you're talking to the one that God sent, talking to the one that is God. He's the Word. You're talking to the one that came in the form of a man. The Word was made flesh. The transition, why? For the testimony, for the record that God would send His Son, virgin born. Listen, you and I have this. And so He says, have this confidence. Have this assurance. Have this assurance in your salvation. Amen. I want you to stand this morning. I've gone on as long as I feel like I can go.